We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Abled the Ravens to sustain drives, and it what might not have been the 15-yard flashy play, Steiny, but it was, I'm faster, quicker, smaller, and I'm going to get 4 yards because that's all I can do against this defense. It was the one answer to me that the Niner defense didn't have.
Yeah, but that's what he does. He did what he did, and he scored 20 points.
I don't
points.
Know that you can yeah. do much better yeah. against him.
They had the second lowest yardage total of the season. Nobody else has been able to hold this team to 20 points.
Right, like, and I'm not all I'm saying is he got 100 on the ground, too, B. That means
that's what he does. Six, he's got 1,000 yards
he ran
already.
16 times. That's a lot for a quarterback.
And against a defense like this, that's like 150 to me because you're doing it against a bad unit.
If the Niners are lucky enough to see this team down the road to play them again, fellas, I think this game is going to benefit them, and they'll be able to adjust a lot better than Baltimore because they will be able to figure this. Okay, we'll have 2 weeks to prepare. We know this offense is coming. Again, the Chargers last year, they lost to the Ravens late in the year. They didn't know how to defend this offense. In the playoffs, Lamar got shut down. And I think teams like Belichick, we'll see with Belichick, we'll see with some of these teams, but Lamar did what he did, but he didn't kill you yesterday.
The one thing about him that to me sticks out is like when he's taking the ball out of the shotgun, he can see 11 defenders in front of him. So he knows what they all are. So then the play starts to develop, and it's almost like once he starts going in a direction, he never gets hit by surprise. There's never a guy he doesn't see coming.
Right.
Now, at some point, I got to believe there's going to be a time where he doesn't see a guy coming, but it's almost like he's a point guard with just unbelievable peripheral vision, the quintessential. It almost feels like he has eyes in the back of his head.
Yep.
Like he has a sense for where everybody is defensively. And then I was thinking about Garoppolo, and it's funny because Jim Barnett used to say this about a lot of players. Your greatest strength sometimes can be your biggest weakness. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to stay in the pocket, it gives those receivers one extra second to like make their move. Mm. And if he could hold it in the middle of the pocket, just that little split second, he makes a lot of plays from there. The problem is if he doesn't time it perfectly, like the sack that turned into a fumble, like that's what'll happen. So I thought Garoppolo was very good yesterday. I thought Jackson was – I just thought it was a hell of a game all the way around.
I'm with you.
Really good game. All right, let's go to Connor. Connor is in San Mateo. What's going on, Connor? How are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to hear your show this morning.
Thank you.
I agree with a lot with who you guys are saying, especially, Guru saying that this team is very, very good. They could be 12-0 if you look at it. You know, they lost some close games. And they played really well in those games. I think yesterday kind of felt like it stuck a weird feeling in my stomach. I think the team played very well. I think Shanahan had a couple, questionable calls, but we already talked about that. I think the main thing I have a question for you guys is about when Kaepernick was playing a lot of the read option way back when, they had guys who figured it out and they had guys come over around the edge just to blow up the quarterback, whether he had the ball or not. Now, I have a question for you guys, whether you think the Niners should have done that yesterday with Lamar playing so much read option. Do you think that we should have had a guy come off the edge, just blow him up, whether he has the ball or not, make him uncomfortable in calling those plays or playing that play in the future, just get him uncomfortable playing the offense the way he likes to play it and see how that goes? What do you guys think about that?
Great question, Connor. Good call. I'm not sure because it felt like the Niners were so weary of Mark Ingram on that dive. Mark Ingram was getting, I know he only averaged 3.9 yards a carry yesterday, but it felt like he was getting 5 or 6 yards a carry. And if you allow him to get 5 to 6 yards a carry, especially on first down, then it sets up the second and short. Then it sets up the third and short. And now Lamar can do multiple things. Now, I remember the Patriots game against Kaepernick way back when, where Belichick committed a guy to hit Kaepernick. Every single play, go hit Kaepernick. worked sometimes. Kaepernick still threw the ball really well in that football game, but maybe you can. But the Niners were biting so hard on Ingram because the one thing that we underrated with Lamar Jackson is his ability to hide the football in the pocket.
Man.
His play fake, the way he rides the running back in that option and then pulls it. Bosa was fooled multiple times.
I was at the house fooled. I had a headache. Who got it?
You know, he's what I think it looks like he almost does is he puts the ball in the running back's gut. And he can wait a split second, and like the running back doesn't move. He sits there for a split second, and it just gives Jackson, like Jackson will just pull it, like later than most quarterbacks can pull it on that kind of play.
Running around a corner, and you're wondering, is this corner going to lead to the rest of the field?
And you can't practice. You can't practice against that speed. That speed is just unreal, man. It's just
he's faster than Kyler and Kyler Murray and Russell. He's
that's electric, crazy.
Man. He's electric.
I mean, remember the 49ers used Richie James as the
practice quarterback.
He's the fastest guy on the team.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Let's go to John. John's in Eugene, Oregon.
Who the hell is John?
He's got the answer to why the 49ers lost. How you doing, John? What's going on, man?
I'm doing great. How about you, fellas?
Doing well, man. What do you got?
Hey, let me just say I'm happy the Niners are 10-2. That makes me excited. But I think the coaching staff is the reason we lost this game, and not just Shanahan. Shanahan made those bonehead decisions that you guys have already talked about the first half and just taking time off. Then to the 4th-and-1 call, passing the ball. I mean, I get it. You thought you had something with Kittle, but we've been dominating the run all game. But like the last caller said, the way Kaepernick was beating the pass, the way RG3 was beating the pass, the way that they started beating Russell Wilson when he was mostly a read option quarterback is you hit the quarterback on every single play. That gets him tired of running. That gets him sore. It makes him more nervous. There was about 4 or 5 different plays where Armstead went straight at Mark Ingram. Like you said, I think they were worried about Ingram, and they didn't even breathe on Lamar Jackson. If they would have told him to just hit Lamar Jackson, he wouldn't have had a lot of those yards, and we would have shut him down because the team as a whole did a good job. I mean, look at it. The 2 scoring drives, they had the one where I think it was Sheldon Day. He went low on the quarterback that gave them a first down.
Yeah, I remember that.
I forget who got penalized, but got penalized, gave him another first down. Those were 2 touchdown drives. Actually, sorry, I think one of them was a field goal. One of them was a touchdown. And then you look back at the Seahawks game. It was 4th-and-1, and Shanahan decided to kick a field goal with a rookie, unproven kicker in one of the biggest moments possible. I thought they should have gone for it there. And granted, I'm not a coach. I'm not in the moment. And then you look back in the Super Bowl for Shanahan, up 28-3, and he keeps passing the ball like crazy.
All right,
Shanahan
John, come on with the Super Bowl stuff. Like, really?
Shanahan has shown he makes too many mistakes in big moments. And in some of the bigger games, as much as we all like Robert Saleh, he makes some very interesting decisions. Even though the team as a whole pretty much did shut down the Ravens, he could have made a couple slightly better decisions.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it.
Brought to you by the Dialpack S-Line.
I'm still shocked, and I know we'll talk to Mooch and Baldy, but they held the ball. And Steiny, they didn't go 80 yards on that last drive. They held it for 6+. I was like, that was impressive.
They only went 34 yards, though.
Yeah, so and used 6 minutes.
Milk the clock.
So what could the 49ers have done?
Stop.
They didn't have one timeout, basically, and you couldn't stop the clock there. You couldn't stop the clock. And the Ravens said, okay, we have Justin Tucker. We don't have to give them the football back, so let's take our time. Milk as much clock. Even if we don't get a first down and miss the kick, at least they don't have any timeouts, and they don't have much clock to work with. The Ravens, John Harbaugh's great with that stuff.
Would you have thought about punting the ball now in hindsight?
Where?
When the Niners went for it, when they passed and didn't get it.
On the 35-yard line.
They were on the 35. No.
They're on the 35-yard line.
Hello?
I don't trust my kicker.
35-yard line. They went.
I mean, that would have come out.
35-yard line.
That would have been their ball at the 20. They would have, you know what I mean?
You would have got 15 yards. You would have gained 15 yards in field position.
LMAO. It's not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy suggestion, but I think at that point you got to go for it or kick the field goal. But in those conditions, I wouldn't have envision myself being in that possible spot. I would have made it an easier decision for me.
Well, I thought they were farther than that, B.
They were at the 35-yard line, 4 down territory.
I think it was 34 because the kick was 51 yards. 35, 34, basically the same thing, obviously.
Right.
So we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Dr. Pigskin, he's in traffic. What's going on, Dr. Pigskin? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I am so in agreement with Bonte and Guru and you, Steiny, on everything you said, everything. But I don't want to throw Shanahan under the bus. The guy calls 80 plays, 70 plays a game. We pick a couple out. I mean, let's not overdo it. But now, the thing I couldn't get over yesterday, and we were just screaming, the bunch of us, is the incredible faking ability of Lamar. And we, you guys have all talked about it, but every time he put it in the belly of Ingram, the defensive end on either side went for it. I mean, you always set the edge. I mean, coaches scream about that. And, you know, after one or two, just stay. You got 5-8 guys in the middle to tackle the dive play. Stay on the edge. They didn't do it once. They didn't do it once. The only reason we stopped him in the second half was he stopped running as much. Now, the guys who have been calling and saying, oh, you got to hit him on every play, not in today's NFL. They would have flagged us every time. If we hit the dude after he'd handed it off, they would have been 15 yards.
Well,
Matt Barrow wrote something in The Athletic about that. The Niners were afraid to hit him because they got those two, you know, roughing penalties.
Yep.
Thanks, Dr. Pigskin. Appreciate it. Like, my answer to all that has to be, well, must be harder than people think it is.
Right.
That to hit Lamar Jackson. Because obviously, that's a strategy that any coach worth his salt would employ. So to me, that tells me, I bet it's not that easy to do that. And obviously it's not. But I do think, even though, and I heard one of the announcers say, you know, if he runs that run pass option, he's part of the run game. Well, he is part of the run game. But let's see how long you're going to be allowed to take Lamar Jackson's head off before the officials, you know, make it a penalty. I don't think it's going to happen very often. Let's go to Greg. Greg's in Fairfield. What's up, Greg?
How we doing, guys?
Doing well, man.
First and foremost, great game, tough loss, but defending Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson 5 years from now, he could seriously be the Russell Wilson MVP that we're seeing right now, so long as he doesn't take the hit. Colin Kaepernick 7 years ago was a man. He was destroying people, but we all know what happened now. Now he's unemployed. We wish him the best, but Lamar Jackson, you got to crash that guy down. You got to crash on him. Got to try to stop Ingram. If we see them in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, that'd be great. But we got to just take it one game at a time. I'll take your comments offline. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the show.
From the text line, these are back-to-back texts. The 925 says, 49ers are not built to beat a good team. And right above it from the 510, the 49ers are legit contenders. I'm going to take the latter after yesterday's game.
Yeah. I mean, now Green Bay's not a good football team anymore. I mean, Green Bay's not a good team. Rams are 7-5. Like, come on, people.
Yep.
Throw the schedule away now. We saw them against the big boy teams, and I know they're on the wrong side of the win-loss column. But, man,
you're about to go to the party. You're going to the dance.
You're going to the party.
All you need is a ticket, Donnie.
Let's go to Al. Al's in Oakland. What's going on, Al? How are you, my man?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
You guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey. So I was just calling because, like, I feel like people are calling in talking about Shanahan and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, Shanahan's delivered this year. We're 10-2. Yeah, he gets flustered sometimes towards the end of the game, like toward the fourth quarter. He does get flustered when the game is kind of tight, you know, like kind of he did in Atlanta. That's the only negative I see about him. But other than that, like, I think he could have called a different, like, play on fourth down one, you know, he shouldn't have went straight ahead and threw it right over the heads of, like, what, 8 linemen and stuff. So that's the only thing I see that he kind of messed up on.
Appreciate it, Al. I mean, listen, Shanahan is not that different from Garoppolo in terms of experience.
Right.
I mean, he's not an experienced head coach. So I'm not going to kill him for this. Do I like the way the last drive of the first half went? No. Do I think he kind of butchered it? Yes. But the big picture is he's got the team at 10-2, and it's in large part because he can design some really effective plays. Does he have a little room for improvement? Yeah, yes, he's got absolutely room for improvement. He's got to be in that situation more. I'm not saying he'll never be able to do it, but I do think it's fair to say, you know what? He's got to be better at that. Got to be better at that.
And it's how you react to it too, fellas, because in the two losses, you go back to Seattle, no big deal. If you want to go back to the Super Bowl, it's still there, Bonte, but it's what you do with this. So moving forward now, if the Niners are in the same scenario this Sunday, and then we see some things, then we could say, hey, this coach is the man, but like Kershaw, when he gets in the offs, it's a different. When he gets in crunch time, does he have the ability?
Oh.
And now I don't know about this new, you're saying, do you need the
time management
guy? Is that a man that tells you what to do?
It's a time management coach. Sean McVay has it. Made a big deal about it. I'm like, wow, that's a great idea because there's so much going on during the game.
Yeah,
you got to go right.
But what
personnel you're going to run? It's a lot, man.
Only the good ones can handle it.
Hey, man, it's nothing wrong with having somebody to help you out in that situation.
I just think it's amazing that the great quarterbacks and the great coaches, they kind of make that look easy.
Yep.
And I just
struggle in that situation.
I just think the one thing you always do is take a timeout too soon rather than too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're like, there's 49 seconds and you get, go take one. Go leave yourself one to set up the field goal, but take one early rather than wasting them. I mean, again, probably easier said in front of my TV than on the sidelines. Let's go to Mitch. Mitch is in Manteca. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Happy rainy Monday.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that I know a lot of people, and I know some of the players are like, you know, we'll let one away. But, you know, I think they got to be concerned is because if Seattle wins tonight at 10-2, we drop to the number 5 seed.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
So it's almost like the Niners have to almost win every game just to even get the number 1 seed. Unless Seattle loses.
He's right.
I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
I mean, that is the part that's tough to swallow.
That's crazy.
It's that you're 10-2, and
no margin for
error.
You may not win
the division.
Right. You play the Saints next week, 10-2.
Man.
That's going to help the Niners if they can win that football game.
Right.
But if Seattle wins today, like Mitch just said, they're 10-2. And they have the tiebreaker right now, which means if you win out and Seattle wins out, that last game of the season, it's for the number 1 seed in the NFC West.
Kyle and company are watching Monday Night Football tonight.
You better believe they are. They'll be lying if they say they are.
I don't have the analytical guy watching it for them.
Right. Good thing you beat the Packers. They're 9-3. You had the tiebreaker over them. Minnesota's 8-3. You need them to beat Seattle, obviously. They could win that game tonight. This game tonight is huge, fellas. It's probably the best Monday night. I'll just hope Booger doesn't fumble tonight, man, on the call. Come on, Booger.
Why is he getting beat up, man?
I know. I'm just playing.
Charles Davis took some heat on the telecast yesterday.
We're so harsh today.
888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in and talk about this midseason classic. You got the time to do that right now, and here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by the Golden State Warriors. We talked a lot about what went wrong for the Niners in yesterday's loss. We're going to get into some of the things they did well, and there were plenty of things they did well yesterday. Also have Steve Mariucci at noon, Brian Baldinger at 12:30, and it's all brought to you by the Golden State Warriors. Make a splash on all things basketball, save with no ticket fees on Warrior games. Receive up to 30% off on Warriors gear. Receive free shipping on orders over $29 and 20% off youth basketball camps. This offer ends tonight at 10 p.m. at warriors.com.
Stay tuned.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on Monster Monday.
All righty, rehashing that 2017 Ravens victory over the 49ers yesterday in Baltimore. 49ers right now are in Florida. They're going to be there all week, and they play the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans next Sunday. Another big game. Remember, this is the stretch. This is the three-game stretch.
Yep.
And the bottom line is, I think a lot of people thought they could and would get the Packers. I think we all knew this was going to be the toughest one yesterday. And I think a lot of 49er fans feel like they can go into New Orleans and win on Sunday. And, ooh. I mean, if you do that, I mean, could you... I mean, I guess you could say they could have gone 3-0, but they're still, to me, sitting pretty. 10-2, they've done, I think, as well as they've possibly could have done. That's this year.
Expectations. But the goalposts, Steiny, they've been changed. And now if they do go to the playoffs and be 1-done, they're going to be like, oh, what could have been? But look, that was a fascinating football game. And I just thought, after the game, you said it, Steiny, and Gu, you probably feel this as well. You said, how can you walk away from that loss and feel bad about the Niners? And actually, yesterday, when the game was over, I was like, all right, they lost. And I just thought to myself, damn, it feels good to see the Niners back in big games. December football rain, it means something. It's the marquee game of the day, and they lose. Of course, you lose the game. You lost the game against Seattle, and I get it. But, man, people have been waiting for the 49ers to be relevant again, and they are relevant again, Guru.
Let's go hear from Kyle Shanahan. We've talked a lot about that drive at the end of the second quarter. Here's what Shanahan said about it after the game yesterday.
Our goal is to, I mean, we'd love to score, but we're going to make sure we work that clock. Now, we were short on the field goal. I think it got a little tipped from what I saw. I'm not totally sure to see the film, but I mean, when you're short on the field goal, I wish we got closer. So we're not short on the field goal, but I know I forget what we started on. I want to say we were pretty far back there. We wanted to eat up the clock, and once we got into a minute, to push it a little bit, and it's exactly what we did, and we didn't get enough chunk plays there at the end, but we're just happy in the end half of the field goal. Just wish we made it.
Yeah, see, and that's I'm with them. We wanted to get into the middle of the field. They were in the middle of the field about a minute, and then, and even when it got down to 30-ish, they were still right there. They were right there, and it just felt like it just fizzled. Just fizzled. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. What's going on, Rob? How you doing?
My guy, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving.
Tell the truth.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Look, check this out, man. Like Guru said, let's put the rat on the table. Look, man, at the end of the day, you got to give more out of Jimmy Garoppolo. That defense of Baltimore wasn't all that. He had wide open passes. He threw a few bad passes in that game that could have went for bigger plays. Like that one on Sanders when it was a pass interference. That was a questionable call. I'm glad we got the call, but he threw that ball on the wrong shoulder. He threw it on the right shoulder. Sanders might still be running. But I'm going to go back to Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, and people talk about the obvious mistakes from that 4th-and-1 call. That was a dumb play call to the one in the first half. We gave him 3 points. That you can't have that. But in the third, fourth quarter, he called 2 timeouts because they couldn't get the play in on time.
Yeah, that's a great call, Rob. Great call.
Shades of Harbaugh.
Oh, you let Rob go?
Not Steiny didn't do it.
I know, no, I know Steiny didn't do it.
No, I've stopped doing that. I don't control the calls.
Yeah. That's my guy.
I don't open up the lines. I don't shut the lines.
And my guy, say something.
Technical producer, AA Pappas.
You better be careful.
I will, Stephen A., but, you know, I don't come in here with an agenda. But, Bonte, the Niners are formidable, and they've been having rose petals thrown at their feet all season long. They were the last undefeated team, and I think your viewpoint that the Niners have arrived is a bit outdated, and it would have worked for the Seattle loss, which to me should have been a Niner win. But now moving forward, as it's go time and people calling and saying we're being too hard on the coach, it's little decisions like we saw yesterday and that Seattle game that could be sending you home in the playoffs to where you don't get a second chance. So I don't think anybody for that matter is being too hard on the Niners for expecting them to get a damn win when you're the Niners. You were 10-1 and had the best record yesterday.
But nobody felt like that, Guru.
Could you go into that game expecting to get a win?
You picked the Ravens in our pick'em, Guru.
Hold on. Don't
you picked the Ravens. You picked the Ravens.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here? That's what I didn't want to happen.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah. You picked the Ravens. Everybody was picking the Ravens.
I mean, I guess every team, quote unquote, expects to win. But
how many more losses are we going to take from this Niner team? This is what I'm saying, to where you guys are going to say, oh, it's okay, we're 10-2.
No,
it's getting to the nitty gritty. So? And that loss yesterday may knock you to the 5th seed. And I'm not saying you're saying this, Bonte, but there's a lot of people saying that they're acting like that wasn't a loss yesterday. Guess what? It was a loss.
Okay.
You're 10-2.
Right.
And you could have easily won it. So my expectation for the Niners moving forward in close games is to get a W. And they could have won that game yesterday. So just to say they played them and oh, it was close, ain't good enough. And I'm hearing a lot of that.
Nobody believes in moral victories. Nobody at all.
Help me.
Nobody believees in moral victories.
And that's why we're being so critical of some things here.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, despite that loss yesterday to an AFC opponent, you still control your own destiny.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If you're a 49er fan, you feel better or worse after that game? To me, I actually feel better. Well, then what are you talking about?
But my point is, it's the same better that you felt when you were 8-7-0.
No, the Seattle game, you know how I came in on Seattle.
Oh, wow.
I was sick to my stomach against Seattle. Sick to my damn stomach because of all the injuries.
Seattle was up 21-10 at home, and it could have been 28-10 had our guy lost the ball at the goal line for
Seattle. That was
Seattle.
In the first half, Guru.
You were down 11. You were down. You were about to be down three at that point.
What are you talking about?
I don't like doing that.
No point for second place. They took an L yesterday.
Okay.
And we need to focus on why and what could have been done. Jerry Rice didn't agree with the 4th-and-1 call.
We've been doing that the first hour and a half.
All right, let's hear Jerry Rice.
We got to find a way. 4th-and-1. You got to give that ball to that running back. You got to leave it up to that offensive line to get you that 1 yard. That hurt us, you know, doing this football game. Also hurt us the game against Seattle.
That game last night, or yesterday, to me, I came out of that game saying the 49ers are for real. Like, they're for real. That's what I came out thinking, if they're a wild card team, that sucks for them. Because they're probably going to be 13-3 and have to play a wild card game. That said, I'm like, who can walk on the field against the Niners and say, it's a good matchup for us?
Seattle.
Really?
Arizona did it twice.
Arizona? What the hell do they have to do with anything?
I'm just saying they played the Niners close twice.
The Niners beat the Cardinals twice.
Donnie, so are you saying all this
was... Oh, brother!
You didn't know the Niners were real up until yesterday?
That's right.
Okay, that's right. Too bad for you because
that's
on
right.
my calculator, knew the Niners were real.
So you said they were real yesterday, but now they're not real. I'm not saying I didn't say they're not real. Stop it, Guru. I got it. Stop it because this is what you did.
This is what you did. This is what you did.
When they were down 16 nothing,
7-point dogs, and you picked the Ravens, first of all. Number two, after the second Cardinals game, you came in here saying, you're down 16 nothing to the Cardinals. I don't know. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers coming in. I don't know if you're real or not. And then they beat the Packers, and it said, it's like, oh, wait, they're fraudulent. The Packers were never real to me.
I called you and told you were frauds. I don't know what your point is.
God, we're so stupid.
Steinmetz. You don't need to defend
him. I'm not defending him.
You went in there, oh, Baltimore's the best team. No, they weren't. You had the best record yesterday. The Niners did.
Who was playing the best football?
The coaches
who was playing the best football?
The game.
Who was playing the
best
football?
Why was Baltimore
favored?
And they
did it against Seattle.
Why was Baltimore favored?
They were on the road.
They were 6.5-point favorites, dog.
My point with you, sir, is you didn't know the Niners were good up until yesterday?
I'm saying.
What have you been doing?
I don't judge games based on outcomes.
Right. Well, I knew the Niners were real before yesterday.
But now they're not. Now they're not, is what you're saying.
I'm saying.
No, you expected to win.
No.
Okay.
Guru, it's about coaching.
Is why they didn't win yesterday.
You mean the best play caller in the NFL?
Yeah, play
Which side are you on now? I can't tell.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
You got throwing rose petals at the Niners for being close, and you're the best team. Let me ask you this.
Who's playing a better football?
Please don't take my words out of context.
I'm not. Right. Who was playing a better football going into that game yesterday?
The Ravens.
Exactly. Who was 7-point favorites yesterday?
I don't care about Vegas.
Who picked the Ravens? You picked the Ravens.
Who had the better record? And who has the best defense
who's
in the
Who's playing the best football?
I'm going to answer that.
Who was playing the best football?
Who has the best defense in the NFL?
They both have. They're both
one. Niner game.
They're both 1-2. Patriots.
Oh, you won the argument. I won that.
But yet the Niners haven't played anybody, but yet they're real.
I'm blown away.
I want some smoke.
You felt like that was you had to watch that game be that close to give the Niners their just
due. That's what I'm saying.
I've been giving them.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
That game was a great game.
No
doubt. And the 49ers showed me yesterday in a loss, they can beat any team in the NFL anywhere. That they lost the game doesn't, I'm not saying, well, they can't get done. They can't win in Baltimore. They can't. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That game yesterday to me was maybe their most impressive game of the entire season, the Packers game included.
So I'm just asking you, the other losses and wins, you still weren't sold?
No, I wasn't. Mm. I actually have been saying, I'm not saying there ain't no because of the schedule, but let's be honest. The second half is tougher than the first half. And guess what? They played a hell of a game yesterday against a team that might be playing the best football in all of the NFL. And it was just, it was a great game. They came out on the short side of it, and I was like, damn, this team's good. And I mean the Niners.
Right. 10-1. See, this is the
thing. I mean, this is the thing. Like, you, it's always about the outcome for you. You can always say, hey, they didn't get a W. I get it. I don't always look at games like that. Like, they beat the Packers. Okay, the Packers came in 8-2 or whatever they were. But I was like, you know, the Packers, yeah, I'm not going to jump on this. They haven't played anybody, but Packers, I don't think, are quite. The Ravens are good.
Yeah.
They almost beat them. They played, I thought, a hell of a game.
You talked about divisional games, and in the green room, we talked about the Saints and how they were struggling. Well, guess what? They played a divisional game against the Falcons. The Ravens struggled against Pittsburgh. They lose to Cleveland. Can we all just agree that divisional games are just different than out-of-conference games and out-of-division games?
I've been giving you that for 2 weeks.
All right.
And my whole point to you, sir, was about my takeaway. I expected the Niners to give the Ravens all that and some, and if they won, I wouldn't have came in here doing backflips. My point to you now is we can hone in on Kyle Shanahan, who, you're right, Steiny, still is the best play caller in the game.
I never
but there's
said
more.
That.
There's coaching and coaching decisions, which reared its head.
That's play
and
calling.
To me, okay,
how is his play call on 4th and 1?
It was bad.
That's right. So, but he's still the greatest of all
he's
time,
trash.
Right?
He can't be better than Sean Payton right now when he hasn't done anything as a head coach.
I'm just saying
he can't be better than Josh McDaniels.
He's the greatest play
right,
caller
Steiny,
in the NFL.
And that's why. I'm not calling him out, but that's why now I'm writing like, oh, Kyle May, I got to wait till the situation arises.
Kyle Shanahan hasn't even won a playoff
game. And it ain't to you, Steiny.
I could be the best play caller in the NFL.
You go into a game 10-1, you're expected to win that game.
Well, the Vegas, everybody here last week.
Why did he have his favorites?
7-point favorites.
I mean, Vegas is the most objective entity you can possibly have.
Let me ask you this, Guru. If they were the best team, how come you didn't pick them Sunday against Baltimore?
I'm different. A 2-minute text thread nobody cares about with the spread. Don't use that.
I'm not using it. But you thought the Ravens were going to win anyway.
No, I did not think the Ravens are going to win anyway. What I'm asking you to on this Monday, who's better, the Ravens or Niners?
Right now the Ravens are.
Okay.
Who cares? That's like the least of my worries because the next time you play them will either be next year or in the Super Bowl. So it's like, okay, yeah, the Ravens are better because
they were getting gashed on the run, Ravens.
Stop it. The Ravens didn't even get 300 total yards. Stop it. Seriously, gashed. They scored 20 points.
The lowest of all
season.
We
said it last week.
If they get 20 points, that's a hell of a defensive charge. The ground, and had they ran the ball
we're talking
more,
about the Ravens.
Oh, I'm talking about the Niners.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's...
I'm just saying, when you're 10-1, don't tell me you should be happy that the game was just close. That's
I'm not
all I'm
happy.
Saying.
Nobody's happy
I'm also
about
not
it.
Like
you
freaking out.
You think I'm happy?
Now
you think
I'm a contender.
What are you talking about?
Mission accomplished. The game was close. Baltimore's that good. Niners came into that game 10-1. Just a reminder.
And just a reminder that sometimes you got to look past a win and a loss.
And I'm looking at the coach, Mr. Fantastic, which I deemed him. In crunch time.
Well, that's
we
you.
Have the
you
best
deemed
coaching
him
staff.
The greatest,
and I knew the
and now
Niners
he's not
were real
the greatest.
Before yesterday.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
But apparently, the way you're talking today, now you think they're not for real.
What are you talking about?
Hey, they're 10-2. They should have won the game.
I'm talking about what? Coaching.
You said they should have won the game.
And I didn't say the coaching was bad. So I have high expectations for the Niners.
Okay.
You're the one that wasn't believing, and it's damn near the season over. I'm like, what are you watching?
Season's still got a quarter to go.
Come on,
man.
I got 4 games left.
Exactly.
You know how good the team is.
No, I don't. That's the point, Guru. I didn't know how good they were after 8 or 9 games because their schedule was not as difficult as the second half of the schedule. Why can't you understand that it's not they haven't played anybody, it's that the second half they're going to get tested a little bit more because of the competition. It's like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Let's go to... You guys like Dime Time to the Deuce? Let's go to... Jonathan, San Francisco. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, fellas, that's a nice discussion you guys are having, man. still, this defense is not going to get beat by a pocket quarterback. So next week, liquidate all assets. They're gonna beat New Orleans like crazy because they're pissed off. And looking at their 2 losses, let's not forget, Seattle played their best game. Baltimore played their best game. And still, they kind of needed to get lucky to get over the 49ers. You know, the 49ers, with these two losses, hopefully they learn from their mistakes. And that mistake, and, you know, it's beginning to look like they kill his heel. The offense has to stop giving the other team points. Turnover, the Garoppolo fumbles, those are when you're playing in the biggest stage, brightest lights, you cannot be giving points to the opponents. That said, I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFL, but they're going to have to stop turning the ball over.
They only turned it over once.
It was costly.
Gave up 7 points. That's fine. I mean, it wasn't fine.
I'll take team turning the ball over once. Between you throw in interceptions and fumbles, one total turnover.
Especially early in the game. It happened to where you were able to overcome that turnover. And I thought the Niners did, because they did tie the football game. It was 17-17. The Niners had a chance there with 6:23 to prolong that drive and eat some more clock up and take a lead in that game and make Lamar Jackson beat you. Didn't happen. Got to take care of the football better. There's no doubt about that. But damn it, that was a heavyweight title fight. And the home team won by 3 points. Baltimore should have held serve at home with the way they've been playing football. They've been annihilating people, Guru. Annihilating. We just saw them drop 45 on the Rams. And they were befuddled in that second half and were held to 3 points. But I get it. No moral victories, especially in the NFL.
That was the word I was looking for.
Let's go. Yeah, but I get it. No moral victories.
But I do feel good.
But you can take stuff out of a loss.
Absolutely.
That are huge. They probably went to the toughest place in the NFL to play.
Right.
And they were right there. Something happens here or there. I'm not saying they should have, could have, would. No, but it's like, come on. Come on. Lewis Modesto. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Some fans are probably going to be mad at me, but I agree with the 4th-and-1 call. Running to the outside, Baltimore was ready for it. Passing to the outside as well. Middle was open. There's a view where Kittle was open down the middle. Jimmy G just has to get better at throwing over the linemen. And he's had that issue since last year. And thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Thanks, Lewis.
I'm going to watch the play over.
We hadn't seen
from
it.
The angles I've seen, Kittle wasn't open. But, Lewis, I'm waiting for the coaches' film to load on the game pass. I don't know what's going on in NFL. Get the coaches' film up. We're trying to see if Kittle was wide open or whatnot. But it just looked like the pass was just, it was too many, it was congested in the middle.
There was other
didn't
plays
like
you could have did.
Absolutely.
That gave you, or Mr. Analytic, wherever those guys and gals are. Quarterback sneak, run the ball, you've been having success on the ground. And with the way the weather was, you could have threw the perfect pass and the wind could have blew it to the left or right. My Snotty, I would quarterback sneak or just ran it.
Let's go to Rich in Fremont. What's up, Rich?
Hey, what's up, Bonte? What's up, Snotty? What's up, Guru?
You got it.
Hey.
Hey, man. First of all, I just want to help bring the calm in to the show today, man. You guys need to stop and take a deep breath, man. Relax.
I'm just fired up.
Just fired up, Rich. We haven't seen each other in 5 days.
We had
Thanksgiving break. We had a great game yesterday. We've been fired up, man. Well, don't you want Patrick on the radio, Rich?
Woo, woo.
Okay, but guys, at the end of the day, okay, it ain't worth you using your blood pressure over, okay? Let's keep it real for what it really is. At the end of the day, you got two losses. Both losses happened against two teams that are competitive. Both happened in situations where the conditions were not the best. You take those conditions, you turn them around, you bring them to San Francisco, you have them play there, all of a sudden you got different outcomes. I believe at the end of the day, and I'm going to side with Simons on this one. Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
We thought you were going, Rich.
Okay. I thought that's how you're going out.
All right. Well, let me finish. I agree with Steinmetz. I think at the end of the day, I think this is a victory because this team was annihilating other teams, and yet in the second half, you only put up 3 points. I think that says something to the defense and the fact that Lamar Jackson, everybody touted this guy all week like he was the next Tom Brady or bringing something like Michael Vick, and really at the end of the day, he met a defense that shut him down in the second half.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the call. Here's the other thing. Yeah. You can't come in here 2 weeks ago and throw around, oh, this is the toughest three-game stretch that any NFL team has ever played ever. This late in the season, because if you add up the records of the... Okay, so they hammered the one team at home. They've lost a nail-biter on the game that we all agree was the one that was going to be the toughest. We actually all nod, wink, wink, was like, they're probably not going to win this game.
Right.
So I'm not coming in here today drilling them and say, hey, lost the loss, can't get it done. No. Let's see what happens against the Saints. And if they go 2-1 in this three-game stretch, yeah, again, it may suck that they're not leading the division, but to go 2-1, I mean, I like where they're at right now. I like where they're at. It's so funny. I actually like where they're at now, even though they've dropped a notch in the standings than they were the first 8-9 weeks.
Well,
because
day.
Now what? I believe. Yeah. Now I definitely believe in this team.
Now what about
like, this
Kyle
team can
in,
beat
in,
anybody?
In crunch time.
That's been a problem.
See,
it continues to be a problem.
You know
I never,
on that.
But you
I
know
never,
what though?
I don't look at Shanahan like Jesus Christ. All right, he's a coach.
Let's talk about crunch time for a second. Pittsburgh crunch time. Who's a team?
Arizona
crunch time. Twice against Arizona crunch time. Seattle for the most part in crunch time. You gave yourself a chance to win.
So nothing to look at here, you're saying?
I know, I'm saying there is something to look at. We've talked about it the whole first hour.
Yeah.
Shanahan and the clock
and
management. Some of the play calling. Absolutely. And Jimmy has to take care of the football. I don't think George Kittle, by the way, I don't think George Kittle was open on that 4th-and-1. I keep looking at it, and I see Earl Thomas flying in. I'm not sure he completes that. Anyway, it's whatever. I know this team is legit, and they can play with anybody in NFL, and that's what I walked away from.
That's exactly the way I looked at it. The game was over, and my first thought was, I mean, obviously the Ravens, we don't work in Baltimore. My first thought was 49ers, and I was like, 49ers are good.
Yep.
They're good. They can 49ers can beat anybody if they... play a great game. And I wasn't convinced of that after week 5, after week 8, after week 9. I just wasn't. Now it's like, I am.
And not to get too far ahead real quick, Steiny, it'll be, now that you believe they're as good as anybody, I do too, the whole room does, it will be criminal that they have to play on Wild Card Weekend, Bonte.
Not if worried about
scenario,
that right now. We're a long way away.
Well,
we're a long way away.
You prevent that is you get the dubs when you can.
Right, you can. But if Seattle loses tonight, we're back in here.
So
the Niners are still number one.
Root for Minnesota.
Well, you're root to get Seattle at all costs, no matter what. But especially tonight. Give me that horn again. Blow that horn. Let's go.
When we come back, former 49er coach Steve Mariucci will be joining us. He'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on Monster Monday.
All righty. Let's head out to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. And it's time to hook up with Steve Mariucci. Mooch is brought to you by Gelati Construction, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. And Steve, was that the best game in the NFL this season? The Ravens 2017 win over the 49ers. I mean, that looked like a hell of a game to me.
Well, yeah, but that Seattle game with the Niners was a hell of a game too. And I think the 49ers have been providing some entertainment for us all this year with an unexpected dominance. And now they ran into another good team, no doubt. Will they play again in the Super Bowl? It's a possibility. We talked about it a lot on our show. These are possibly the best two teams fighting it out. What goes right down to the wire, and in the rain, you know, in weather like that, you had to be good running teams to have an advantage. Well, they were the two best running teams in the National Football League, and so nobody disappointed anybody. It was a heck of a game. Could have gone either way, and if they play again, guys, I really think that's an advantage for the Niners because if they play again, it would be in the Super Bowl. And it would give the Niners 2 weeks to prepare for that offense, which is an unusual offense. Very good, but it's unusual. So, hey, they didn't disappoint. It was a heck of a game.
Mooch, it's so easy to Monday morning quarterback and second guess, but we had your guy, the great Jerry Rice, on with our morning show, Joe Lo and Dibs, and he mentioned he didn't like the 4th-and-1 call before they gave the ball over to the Ravens to eventually kick the field goal. Did you like that call? What was your thought, passing as opposed to running?
You know, Mooch. You know, I've been through this many times myself, and if the play works, you're a genius, and if it doesn't work, you're an idiot, and it's that simple. And so you got to call a play that you think will work. And part of that decision is, all right, what do they think we're going to do? You know, are they going to load it up and try to stop the run because everybody and their dog thinks we're going to run? Or do they blitz because everybody in the world thinks it's going to – you know, so you just got to call a play. And Kyle Shanahan, let's face it, he's a great play caller. He's two things. He's a great game planner, and he's a great game caller, and he's a play caller. And you know, so he felt that he could, you know, use a little bit of element of surprise. And the plan wasn't to get it batted down. And so you do what you think is going to work. It's that simple.
Mooch, I want to look at the end of the first half. That's the sequence that kind of bothered me there with the Niners down 17-14. And you see good teams at the end of the first half, 2-minute drill, especially when you don't receive the second half kickoff. Yeah. You go down there to try to get points. And I thought when the Niners, they get a block in the back called on Emmanuel Sanders, it's 1st and 20. You pick up 8 yards with Deebo Samuel. 51 seconds elapsed off the clock before the next play was over. And I just thought between those 51 seconds, kind of being nonchalant there, now all of a sudden you're in Baltimore territory. You only got 26 seconds left, but you have all your timeouts. Just that whole sequence there, Mooch, it bothered me. And that's one thing with Shanahan so far this season that we've seen is his clock management skills. I want to know if he's got a guru like Sean McVay in L.A., a time management guru.
Well, you know, I was wondering the same thing at the time, because they did have timeouts in their pocket. But part of that was probably, hey, I don't want to have to punt here and get the ball back to those guys, you know, in this bad weather. And so maybe the thought, maybe, I don't know. I didn't talk to Kyle since the game, but maybe it was to be methodical and try to get a field goal right at the end and use up all the time there and not give them any kind of time left whatsoever. So they did take their time. And you know, maybe they were, their first half was much better than their second half, right? And you know, I don't know. You gotta have him explain that to you. But you know, I thought they didn't want to have Lamar Jackson with the ball in his hands at all in that first half.
Steve, I know there's no thing is a good loss if you're a head coach, but if you were a 49er.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.